Hello and good evening, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutan.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Let's begin the show with the latest news on COVID-19. The National Security Council will enforce more restrictions under Phase 2 of the Movement Control Order. So as of Wednesday, April 1st, operating hours for all shops, supermarkets and petrol stations will be restricted to between 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And only one person will be allowed to travel in a car at any one time. So at last look at the cases of COVID, Malaysia reported 156 new cases of COVID-19 today with 3 new deaths. While health officials are trying to bring this pandemic under control with clear strategies, it is the economic impact locally as well as globally that is an increasing source of anxiety for many. Do we have the policy ammunition to effectively respond to the damage done by the COVID-19 crisis? Joining us on the line to discuss this further is economist Dr. Jomo Kwame Sundram, former United Nations Assistant Secretary General and formerly with the Food and Agriculture Organization of the UN. Good evening, Jomo. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. To start things off, I'd like to get your thoughts on what you made of the government's Prihatin package that was recently announced.
Well, I think it's very difficult to get into too many details. But out of the 250 billion number, which we hear as the size of the package, about one-tenth of it is basically fiscal in the sense that it actually involves government money. That is actually very low by any international standards, and I would be very happy if the government actually put a bit more bang in the buck. This would be very important because we are not facing any normal crisis. This is not to be compared with any previous financial crisis. This is a crisis of very new dimensions and very new proportions. And it's also important to recognize that there are very difficult trade-offs involved, a trade-off between measures being taken to deal with the crisis. And we should not just think in terms of the lockdown, but also about life after the lockdown and how all that will affect the economy, how it will affect life in general. And this will be very, very profound change. I don't think we can think in terms of going back to the status quo ante. We are thinking of a very new way. We have to think of very new ways of reorganizing life, how to ensure that we minimize the loss of productivity, how do we ensure that people have incomes, and how they are going to survive in the time to come. We cannot expect, realistically speaking, to get down to a zero situation because of the very nature of this virus. This virus has had a tremendous effect, more than any other virus in recent history, in terms of the morbidity, in terms of causing disease, as well as the mortality effects. Physical distancing is absolutely necessary until such time that we are able to develop a vaccine, and that may take any amount of time. We have no idea when the vaccine is in store. So until such time, we will have to try to reduce the bulge, so to speak, flatten the curve is the term which many people like to use in terms of ensuring that our health system can cope with the challenges posed by this. So the lockdown, per se, has to be seen in context of the various choices which we have in terms of trying to minimize the continued spread of the virus in the immediate future. And there are many, many different choices. We have to remember, for example, that the lockdown imposed in Wuhan and Hubei province and a couple of other neighboring provinces was not imposed in the rest of China, the remaining 20 provinces of China. In countries such as the Republic of Korea or South Korea, there has not been a lockdown. And much of East Asia has been quite successful in terms of bringing the infection rate under control, under management. Contrast this with the situation in the West, in developed countries in the West, which have far superior health systems in some respects, but we have seen a tremendous devastation because of inappropriate measures which were taken. So we have much to learn from East Asia, and it is particularly interesting that some of the public health choices which we have to be measured. One of the most influential reports is the so-called report of the Imperial College in London. Mm-hmm. And that report is credited with having changed the UK government's stance in relation to the crisis. But having said that, the report has got pays very little attention to the economic dimension of the policy options involved. Right.
Can I just interrupt you for a second? Could you come back to the question of the fiscal injection, the part of the Prihatin package? You say it's low by any standard. Are you speaking specifically about the cash handouts for individuals or the SME package, the job retention objectives of that package?
Well, the vast majority of people in Malaysia work for medium-sized enterprises and small enterprises. But I'm also thinking of the what might be termed micro-enterprises, the small business people, people who are involved in hawking goods and so on and so forth. I'm thinking of the many hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of daily rated workers, the most vulnerable people in our society. And the lockdown basically means no work, no income for them. And many of the measures, desirable, will not reach many of them. And I'm very, very concerned about them. What is it necessary, for example, to have a lockdown on plantations, on farms? Is it necessary to have a lockdown in other areas? If we look, for example, at the measures which have been introduced very, very successfully in Kerala province, in India, for example, they have actually involved very, very simple measures of ensuring physical distancing, as well as measures which involve sanitary measures and so on and so forth. And so we have much to learn, not only from the more developed countries of East Asia, but we also have much to learn from very successful examples such as Kerala, particularly in South India. The rest of India using brutal measures which have resulted in the vivid brutality of police brutality against ordinary people. Those kinds of measures have had very limited impact. We see pictures of people walking hundreds of kilometers to get back to their home villages because they know they cannot survive for very long without work, without incomes in the major cities. It's a very tragic situation, but we need to adjust. We need to think about how all sections of society are going to adjust to this new situation.
And we're going to continue this conversation, Jomo, in just a couple of minutes. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more with Dr. Jomo KS. Stay tuned to consider this.